Take your Bibles tonight and turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, we will finish this chapter tonight. Last week we went through verses 12 through 36, and Christ himself said the hour is come. And so what we see here in these chapters now, we see the last, starting with chapter 12, the last 6 days of Christ's physical life. The last 6 days. So in verses 12 through 19, we see the prophetic entry. Some people call it the triumphant entry. No, that's happening when Christ comes back and sets up his kingdom. So this is the prophetic entry because it was talked about in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. We see the particulars in verse 12. The day, it was a Sunday. It's Palm Sunday. The details, how they went and found a donkey, just like Christ said. And you know, it said where never man had ever ridden. Have you ever thought about that? You don't just get on a donkey or a mule or a horse the first time and have that horse be gentle. But that donkey knew who was riding him and was submissive to guard. You know, we need to be better than donkeys. We need to follow God and not fight him. And so we see that, and he comes into the city. There's a royal picture here because he has all the accolades of the king. They call him the king of Israel. They call him Messiah. But then, and by the regal praise, Hosanna, give salvation now. That's been a common theme in the Feast of Tabernacles and also in the Feast of the Dedication. And Christ's position is acknowledged, but then it's going to be condemned just a few more days in the future. So this is the prophetic entry. We see, like I said, the prophecy. We see the procession, the perception by the disciples. They did not understand what was happening on, but after he was glorified, they did. The crowd thought he was going to set up an earthly kingdom, but they're going to crucify him later on in the week. The Pharisees said, the whole world's going after him. What are we going to do about this? So we see the perceptions here. Verses 20 through 26, we see a different segment. We see these Greeks proselytes wanting to see Christ. And they came to Philip. And Philip went and got Andrew. And they went and they got Jesus because Jesus was on the inside of the temple. They're out because they're Gentiles. And so Jesus comes out and talks to them. And basically, the issue here is, if you want to see Christ, you need to be where Christ is. Don't go running on your own life. If you want to see Christ, you need to commit to the effort until you see him. And get all those things out of your life that's hindering you from seeing Christ. And then you must consider the message that Christ gives us. He didn't talk to them in a social term. He basically told them the gospel. He told them the whole purpose. The motive of Christ's life was to go to the cross. The motive of our life is under scrutiny all the time. Why do we do the things we do? We should do all things for Christ. We should do all things for God. But the issue is whoever loses his life in this world will what? Find it. Whoever finds his life in this world will lose eternity. And then you must choose to follow Christ. And then in verses 27 through 36, we see the approaching hour. In verse 27, Jesus was troubled in his soul because of what was going to happen. He knew as God what was going to happen. He knew the plan. And now it's going to be taking place. The answers needed of Christ's request. God responded with a voice that was audible to him. Everybody else thought it thundered. You know why? Because they weren't perceptive. And then of God's judgment of sin, of Satan, and all that is going to go on the Savior on Friday. And so we see that he became sin for us. He is our reconciliation to God. So that is last week's. We see the astonishment that was created in verse 34. The admonition that he said, you need to, the light is here, and it's not going to be here much longer. And the actions required in verse 36 basically said, you need to walk in the light while you have the light. You need to find the light while you have the light. And he departed and took himself away from the crowd so he would not, his timing would be right because he's still in control. So that was last week's lesson. So tonight we're going to be looking at verses 37 through 50. Who hath believed our report? We're going to see Isaiah come into view and all the things that he talked about come into view tonight concerning Christ. And tonight the main theme is that the witness of Christ is reaffirmed. There's 3 points in this message tonight. The first one is found in verses 37 through 41. And it's the rejected witness of Christ. The religious leaders and those who rejected Christ reject him on 3 grounds. The first one is that his works were rejected. In verse 37 it says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Folks, it should have only taken the miracle of turning the water into wine to convince people. And Christ healed the lepers. He raised the dead. He cured blindness. He cast out demons. Everything imaginable, whatever we could think of a miracle, Christ did those things to glorify God. And they didn't believe. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. We need to think about this. The level of unbelief that was in the nation at this time. Would it happen today? Would it happen if we saw those things? It's incredible. You see all these things. People want to believe anything. But when it comes to godly things, they don't want to believe anything. So we see the works rejected. But though he had done so many, not just the different types, but how many he did. And they admitted, how could anybody do this except God? Why won't they believe? What will it take God to do for you to believe? You need to believe about the cross. In verse 38, we see the word rejected. We see the word rejected. In verse 38, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? That's Isaiah 53:1 verbatim. All those religious people, all those Bible scholars should have known better. They should have known better. You know, the Ethiopian eunuch understood. He was reading that coming back from Jerusalem when Philip meets him on the side of the road. He says, how can someone understand unless someone guides? And what does the Bible say in Acts? It says he picked up the scripture right there and explained to him Jesus. The Bible is about Jesus. It's about salvation. And so we see the works rejected, the word rejected. But before we go to the third point, let's go to Isaiah 6. In Isaiah 6, Ronnie's preached on this. We've gone through Isaiah verse by verse. And in Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 10 is the call of Isaiah. And it starts out with a vision of seeing God. And it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. That's what Christ deserves. He gave all that up to come down to earth and be rejected. They said Hosanna, but then they said crucify him. Instead of saying holy, 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 they called him the agent of Satan. They called him Satan himself. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, I lost my point. I can read it up here. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Christ is right in front of them. Isaiah does this, and what do they do? You see the contrast here. It says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Now I got it. No, I don't. You know, this time I was trying to save paper, and I got this printed on both sides, and I flipped it too early. And so now I'm dealing with this. Okay. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go with me for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. The works were rejected. Isaiah sees the vision of heaven in Christ. He sees God. He sees Christ. Okay? And now, what happens to him? He says, oh, woe is me. I need to repent. I need to get right. Here am I. Send me. And what's going on here? Now, let's go to the way rejected. In verses 39 through 41, it says, therefore, they could not believe. You know, Pharaoh was never going to get his heart right with God. It says that God hardened his heart. No, God just kept on giving him choices, and he kept on choosing to do the wrong thing. Christ, through all these miracles, keeps on giving everybody choices, and they keep on doing the wrong thing. They keep on believing anything other than he is God. Christ, God tells Isaiah, go and you preach this thing of judgment coming. The next verse in 11 in chapter 6, it says, how long? He says, until you're done. Until there's no one left. You keep on preaching. It says, therefore they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes. No, God did not blind their eyes. They blinded themselves. And hardened their heart. God didn't harden their heart. He gave them choice after choice after choice. Now, he knew what was going to happen. They hardened their heart. Remember Romans chapter 1? Romans chapter 1, because they did not like to retain God in knowledge, God gave them over to a what? A reprobate mind. So they could do those things which are not convenient. God's going to let you make your own choice. And you keep on rejecting God, you'll get to a point that you don't even care. And that's where they are right now. Harden their hearts that they should not see with their eyes. What does verse 37 say? So all these miracles, yet they didn't believe. Why? Because Isaiah writes in 53, he says, who will believe our report? See with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, and be converted, that I should heal them, which is verse 10 of Isaiah 6. Now, the disciples got the viewpoint of hindsight. They didn't understand this triumphant entry thing at first, but then they understood. They didn't understand some of the things that Christ was preaching about and talking about that, but then after he was resurrected and he walked with them for 40 days afterwards, they understood. We need to look back and clean up the things that we don't understand, so we can go forward. We have the ability to see what God's done in our life, what he's done in other people's lives. We have the ability to read his word and read this account. It says, these things said Isaiah. Why did I go to chapter 6? Look at verse 41. These things said Isaiah when he what? Saw his glory. Now, here's the interesting thing. Whose glory? God's. Whose glory? Jesus. Jesus. Full of grace and truth. He's got the power of God. And spake of him. Who's the him? Christ. They had everything they needed in order to make the right decision. But they rejected the witness of Christ. So that is verses 37 through 41. Verses 42 through 43, we see the reserved witnesses of Christ. The reserved witnesses of Christ. Now, I've heard over and over again, you've heard over, I'll just be a silent witness for Christ. Folks, that's not biblical. How can they hear without a preacher? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Your life should cause people to see the change in you so they ask a question so you can give them the answer. Or you just go give them the direct message right off the bat. You can't be silent. Verse They were silent. These reserved witnesses were silent. They held everything back. Verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Folks, that's what's happening in the world today. We're so concerned about what people think that we won't tell them the truth. We're so concerned about, well, I might get in trouble. Folks, we're supposed to be witnesses for Christ. Now, there are silent witnesses. They do things inside of the gospel story. There's Joseph of Arimathea. There's Nicodemus. They take the body down off the cross. Nicodemus actually says some things in a way of a defense of Christ, but then he just gets beaten down in the council. But here's the point. They didn't do anything, okay? They didn't do anything. They did because they were the Pharisees. They were repressed, and they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, which is a second reason. They were scared. Why do people not change? Because they're fearful of the unknown. They don't want to admit that they're what? Wrong. They were scared of losing position. What does verse 42 say? It says here, it says, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. They were silent. And look at the next phrase. Lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Who are we talking about here? Among the chief rulers. Among the chief rulers. They were too scared of losing their position. Mark chapter 10, verses 29 through 30 says this. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospels. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Okay? Now, if you don't want persecution, stay silent. But those that live godly will what? Suffer persecution. And in the world to come, eternal life. So they were silent. They didn't confess Christ because they were scared about what the other people would think. They were silent because, oh, I might lose my position. And then John puts it into big perspective here. They were scared of losing praise. They were scared of what other people would think of them. In John 12, verse 43, it says, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Why do you do the things you do, Christian? If you do it for the praise of men, you have your reward. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when you stand before the bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, all those are going gone. And you're going to stand before God naked without any rewards to give back. Here's the key. Proverbs 29 verse 25 says this, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of man bringeth a snare. This is what was happening to them. They were fearful of what other people would say. Now, understand. I understand. But it was put in the Bible for a reason. Put in the Bible to encourage us that we need to not do that, but do the opposite. So we see the rejected witness of Christ. We see the reserved witnesses of Christ. And in verses 44 or 50, as we go to our last point tonight, we see the repeated witnesses of Christ, or witness of Christ. Okay? Verses 44 and 45, we see the repeated witness of his person. It says, Jesus cried out and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. This is another time that Christ just cries out over top of the crowd. He cries out, I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. He who comes to me will never thirst. I am the light of the world. I am all that. He cries out in the temple. He cries out in the crowds. He cries out on the mountain. He cries out on the seashore. I am the Messiah. And he repeats it right here to this crowd. And he says, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. And the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So we see the repeated witness of Christ of his person. In verses 44 through 45, we see the repeated witness of Christ of his purpose. Of his purpose. He says, I am come a light unto the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to what? But to save the world. We go back to verse 35, and he says, "Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." Okay? While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. So Christ says the same thing here. He says, "I am come a light in the world." This is the reason I'm here, because the world is in darkness. In Isaiah 9, it says, those that were in darkness saw what? Great light. Okay? He was the light of the world. So now all these things from chapter 1 come back. And we can see where John's coming from here. So it's a repeated witness of his person. It's a repeated witness of his purpose. "I am come a light to the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." If you know Christ, you're not in darkness. And he says here, he says, "If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." But the last part of this witness of his are his proclamations. He makes three proclamations here in verses 48 through 50. The first proclamation is of God's judgment. So he says, "Walk in light. I'm come to be the light. I came to save the world." But look at what verse 48 says. "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day." You know, it says in the book of in Matthew, it says that we're going to have to give an account from every idle word. I have a feeling that one of the things that people will experience in hell is they will remember all the times that they heard the word and they rejected Christ. And they saw this opportunity go by, and this opportunity go by, and this opportunity. Don't let this opportunity go by, folks, if you don't know him. Don't let this one go by tonight. John chapter 3, verse 36, it says, "He that believeth on the Son have everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall" what? "Not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." All the way up to the cross, Christ is given an invitation: believe on me. All through our life, until death happens, we're given the invitation: believe on him. Don't be like King Agrippa. He said, "Call on me a more convenient day." Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Don't harden your heart as in the day of provocation in the wilderness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. So we see his proclamation of God's judgment in verse 48. We see his proclamation of God's commandment in verse 49. This is why Christ is there. He says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." He said, "I have told you what God the Father has told me to tell you." And now in the world, the Holy Spirit does the exact same thing. And the Holy Spirit testifies of who? Christ. "Search the scriptures, for therein you think you have eternal life, you find eternal life. Those scriptures speak of me." That's what Christ is saying in this book. John chapter 5, verse 43, "I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. They wanted the praise of men more than the praise of God. They wanted the philosophy of men more than the truth of God's word. They wanted to do it their way and not God's way. And you know something? Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So we see his proclamation of God's judgment. We see a proclamation of God's commandment. We see the proclamation of God's compassion. Of his compassion in verse 50. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak thereof, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. In him was life. And the light, light was the life of men. So we see this repeated message in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. And this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. What about it tonight? Christ is saying another witness. What more do you need to be convinced to turn your life to Christ? What more do you need to be convinced of what Christ and what the Bible is true? What more do you need to be convinced that the only way to heaven is through Christ? You should not need any more convincing. We cannot be silent. We cannot be scared. We can't be the reserve witnesses. You have a job to now to receive his word or reject it. And we see what's happening here. They're rejecting him. What are you doing with the witness of Christ tonight? What are you doing with it? I hope you've accepted it. I hope you're proclaiming it through witnessing. I hope we're living it. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, just ask me with this time of invitation. Father, just help us, Lord, not to reject your witness. Father, I pray that someone here does not know you as Savior. Lord, I pray that tonight would be the night of their salvation. Help us, Lord, to walk in the light as children of light. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice. Help us, Lord, not to be hardened, but, Father, that we would be looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith, and that we'll run our race. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would have full reign here tonight. Help us, Lord, to be your witnesses. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.